Our friend Dolphus Ramser was born and raised in Concord, North Carolina, a town so rich with history that it provided the inspiration for his independent record label and management company. So great was the city's influence on Ramser that he continues to live and work in Concord today with a full-time staff located in both North Carolina and California. He and his team always put their clients' music first, work as hard as they can, and have fun along the way. Visit Ramser.com to learn more.
Welcome to The Road to Now, where we look to the past
and everywhere in between
to understand the present. I'm Bob Crawford, and joining me as always is Dr. Ben Sawyer. Ben, can you tell us about the guest we have today?
Sure can. We are talking with Vanderbilt scientists Jim Clark and Steve Cron. They are experts in nuclear energy. They have incredible, incredible backgrounds working in government, working for private organizations, and they have been working on nuclear energy and on nuclear sites for decades.
Yeah, it's a really interesting topic, Ben. I grew up in the shadow of the Three Mile Island nuclear accident that happened in the late 70s. And also, the first time I ever saw Bruce Springsteen perform live, like saw like a video of him actually performing, was on the No Nukes concert. So, you know, when I grew up, there was a lot of animosity, a lot of fear, a lot of hesitation about nuclear power. And it was really a galvanizing moment for people that were against it. And so I've always wondered, has nuclear energy been given a fair shake in the United States? Is it something, you know, why doesn't it work when it works so well in other countries? Why can't we figure out how to dispose of the waste properly? Why aren't we using it more if it's such a clean technology, as many people say it is?
Right. And I think one of the lessons we've learned, as we talked about on the history of coal before this, is that, you know, politics are as important as technology and shaping the way we produce energy. And you see that with coal. You see that tremendously. And you also see it with nuclear. Dr. Steve Cron, before he went to Vanderbilt, he served in the U.S. Department of Energy as the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Safety and Security in the Office of Environmental Management. This guy knows what it's like to deal with this stuff. And he explained there are actually safe ways to do this. Not completely, but the risk can be minimized if we do it correctly. And, you know, when you listen to this episode, remember, these folks have been doing it for a while. Listen and judge, but keep your mind open.
Yeah, we probably could not have found two better guests or experts to talk about this topic.
All right. Jim Clark and Steve Cron, welcome to The Road to Now. You are experts on nuclear energy. You both have been working on nuclear power for more than half of the existence of nuclear power. So this is incredible. Your histories are the history of the industry. We're looking at a time now where energy is a big point of debate in American society. And so we're doing this series on the history of energy and where it stands now. Could you tell us, where did this start? It seems like the debate over energy, it's coal versus sustainable energy, and that means wind and solar. Why are we not pursuing nuclear energy more intensely?
Well, I would think there's some politics associated with that. There is, you know, nuclear energy actually came out of nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons came first. And so there's that stigma associated with nuclear energy.
A lot of it depends on how you frame the discussion. There are a lot of terms thrown around in the energy discussion. You'll hear renewable, you'll hear sustainable, you'll hear clean energy. So depending upon what your goal for energy is, some of the answers may be different. For example, where, you know, you have biofuels are a renewable energy, but they're really not all that clean. Nuclear power, unless you recycle nuclear fuel, is not defined as a renewable energy, but from a carbon dioxide emission standpoint, it's as clean as wind power is.
Guys, I grew up very close to Three Mile Island. I grew up in South Jersey, about 3 hours away from where that happened. I remember very clearly. It was just a few days before my eighth birthday.
This is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
Good evening. The world has never known a day quite like today. It faced the considerable uncertainties and dangers of the worst nuclear power plant accident of the atomic age. And the horror tonight is that it could get much worse. It is not an atomic explosion that is feared. The experts say that is impossible. But the specter was raised of perhaps the next most serious kind of nuclear catastrophe, a massive release of radioactivity. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission cited that the potential is there for the ultimate risk of a meltdown at the Three Mile Island atomic power plant outside Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
That skews my knowledge about what nuclear energy is and the potential dangers of it. But like you said at the outset, there have been very few accidents. What are the real dangers of nuclear energy?
Well, I think Three Mile Island might be a good one to talk about for a bit, because Three Mile Island was a large industrial accident. I mean, it produced the bankruptcy of a couple of companies, but there were no substantial radioactive releases associated with Three Mile Island. One of the reactors had to be permanently defueled and shut down. So substantial impact on the utility in southern Pennsylvania there, but not a substantial impact on human health and safety or the environment.
Another thing, if I could, if you look at all of those accidents, it's invariably the case that the accidents were not caused by the system. They were not caused by the equipment. They were caused by people. And so right after Three Mile Island, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission set up a new division called Human Factors, recognizing that it's the things the people do. Like in Chernobyl, they were playing games with the reactor. They were bringing it up and shutting it down. These accidents are not caused by systems.
And the other thing that came out of Three Mile Island was the Institute for Nuclear Power Operations, which was an organization that all of the utilities belong to, and its focus is on operational excellence. So it is set up to address just what Jim was mentioning, the fact that operators are part of the system, and they need to have the same amount of technical focus on them that designing a complex system has.
Nuclear energy has this problem. Most of humanity found out about it in 1945 when these bombs exploded in Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
I have just returned from the White House, where it has just been announced that the United States is now using an atomic bomb, the most powerful explosive yet developed.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base. We won the race of discovery against the Germans. We have used it in order to shorten the agony of war, in order to save the lives of thousands and thousands of young Americans.
And it was the Manhattan Project. The production of power for your average citizen was not the goal of it. That was a later development that came from that. And combining that with the point you made about it being human error. And I was just listening yesterday. I can't remember the reporter's name, but he's been working for a year on accidents in nuclear facilities. The examples he gave in the interview were human error, them cutting off certain safety functions because they didn't like the beep, I think it was, that it made. People in Los Alamos recently putting rods too close together to take a picture. And these are those things that are a problem, but those things can have huge impacts. Kate Brown wrote a great book called Plutopia, and it compared the Mayak nuclear reactor that they built in the Soviet Union to the Hanford plant in Washington. And the Hanford plant was a disaster, and it was shotgunned by people. And even recently, there were warnings there with leaks from one of the containment centers. You, however, have lived for decades working on this. Are those problems that came out of those weapons days, are they solved now? Are they something we should be less worried about?
Both Mayak and Hanford are fuel reprocessing plants. They're not reactors. So it's an important difference. Both they're chemical plants designed to take apart nuclear fuel and allow it to be either recycled or, in Hanford's case, removing the plutonium to be able to make nuclear weapons. So those are both chemical processing plants. The Mayak plant had a major chemical explosion a number of years ago, substantial radioactive contamination in the local area, and there were some deaths associated with that accident. Now, the challenges at Hanford are more environmental restoration related. I mean, we have 177 high-level waste tanks out at Hanford, of which 148 of them only have a single barrier in between the remaining waste and the environment. The rest of them have two barriers. I was actually interviewed on National Public Radio about the leak you're talking about last May. And that was a leak only in that it was a double shell tank and there was leakage from the primary shell to the secondary shell. So the design met its intent. It stopped the leak. The material was able to be recovered and put back into other high-level waste tanks. Now, that's not to say that there are not environmental restoration challenges out at Hanford. I mean, the 148 single-shell tanks, a number of them had leakage issues, and there is ongoing environmental monitoring required. And longer term, there may be environmental restoration under those tanks that's necessary. But I think it's important for us to put things in their proper perspective. MIAC, huge accident, loss of life, broad-based radioactive contamination in Siberia. Hanford, no losses of human life. Challenges to ensure that we protect our environment the way that we expect our environment to be protected since the National Environmental Protection Act, especially NEPA. But the human health and safety issues are more ensuring that we don't get people exposed while we're remediating the environment.
So would it be fair to say that the problems that we're looking at Hanford, we've come further in terms of preventing those types of accidents? And also, you said that has to do with producing nuclear weapons. Is that type of process not required for nuclear energy?
Similar chemical processes, similar nuclear processes, but a different intended product. Material for weapons in the national security mission of the United States, nuclear power for energy production. And you design the reactors differently. You design a production reactor for weapons purposes not to produce a lot of heat. You want it to have a lot of neutrons absorbed to produce plutonium and tritium and materials like that, whereas you optimize a power reactor to produce heat efficiently so you can produce steam and make electrical power.
I think it's fair to say that given the catastrophic nature of an accident, if it occurs,